So, and here, and which is why I said the question of the support you get from management and how you mold the team together, and sometimes your own being able to recognize your failings and to seek help with it. You mentioned some captains that, as I said to the caller, I thought that while they may have had cricketing skills, I questioned their captain abilities. Chanderpaul was one of them. I never thought he would have made a strong enough captain to hold the team together. Jason's comments about the bubble and missing were what you would call politically incorrect, perhaps, given the nature of the Caribbean makeup and the way, as you say, sometimes the focus is on the future. My challenge with the way West Indies cricket has been managed is this. You made reference to me sitting in this chair as a moderator, a member of Starcom Network's team, going across the pond and making statements and how it would reflect. There are times when you have to ask yourself, do I stay inside the tent and make my comments, or do I step outside and remain outside? And if you step outside and you know the challenges of stepping outside, then be prepared to live with the consequences of stepping outside. But you take, it's judgment, it's risk. And it may reflect on the way in which you manage in general. In the Caribbean cricket arena, I have often felt that stars have been promoted over team players, that the public demands stars, and that they forgive stars perhaps more frequently than they forgive other people. And if another person had made the statements Jason had made, but they were more stellar in their perceptions and how people see them, they'd be able to get away with it. He didn't and he couldn't. I'm not saying he was right or wrong. I'm saying he didn't and he couldn't.
Thank you, Dennis, because we all know of Brian Lara.
Oh, well, you're right. That was a
95 tour to
correct,
England. Then Lara
correct.
Wanted to come back to
the tour to Trinidad. Bravo, too. Bravo had made statements, you know, that.
At that time, the chairman and the president of West Indies Cricket Board was Peter Sharp, and Wes Hall was the team manager. They had to get off and get to London to save that aspect of
correct.
It.
Correct, correct.
So I'm saying.
Because they supported him that much.
Right.
Yeah.
If you make a statement, Don't gripe over it, Dennis.
Yeah, I get
if
your
you're
point.
Looking down the road to your future at 29, you feel you're 29 and you're looking down the road that you can market yourself for the next 5 or 6 years, can you up to 35? So be the case. West Indian supporters, Dennis, needs results. We're a set of islands that most persons know the West Indies in their house Indies. In the good days. Most people know the West Indies, how we dominated cricket. So as the results start to turn the corner, Barbadian people, West Indian people do not want to hear who should be captain. We want, at the end, the end result to make West Indies cricket right. So when I hear a lot of people coming to put a case for Mr. Holder took the high road, and he should face the consequences. And I'm not saying that nobody should not discuss it, because I'm not going to speak down to people, but he took the high road, and he should accept the responsibilities now
of taking
that are passed on to somebody.
Can't disagree with you with that. Anything?
And Craig Bradford raised his hand, and
you step forward.
Yeah, come back with some success.
Sir, I have to say to you that with everything else in life, you make your decisions, and you live with the consequences of your decisions. Sometimes we regret it. There are times when we're punished. There are times when we're forgiven. But that's life in all its glory. And cricket perhaps reflects that. I thank you for your comments, sir. Always good hearing you. Brass Tacks, good morning. Hello. 4341790. Brass Tacks, good morning. Hello. Give up the radio. Listen to the phone. 4341790. Brass Tacks. Good morning. Okay, person's still away from the phone. Let's see what happens next. Hello.
Good morning, Mr. Johnson. You hearing me?
Clearly.
a refreshing voice. How are you doing, sir?
I am all right. I'm all right. And you?
I am hiding there among the melee.
Stay slightly above it. You'll get pulled down in the bog, they tell me.
Those captains that gentleman called up just now, it only hurt me a little bit that Desmond Haynes never made one of those. Anyway, that's another topic for another day. And I'm about to do what you say and make some comments, and I hope I don't get bashed too hard for them.
All right.
I called the program yesterday and spoke to Mr. Murray. I was the one who said I held on for an hour and 52 minutes before I got on, but it was well worth it. I got on to you a lot faster today, and I think that was because me and you intricately linked some of them.
I hope I don't drag you down.
Huh? Pardon?
I hope I don't drag you down.
I don't believe that you could do worse. I hear almost speechless, a little bit livid and saddened at the same time. I don't know how you get them three emotions mixed into each other. Here is that we have a situation where you're constantly seeing on print media, you hear it on the radio, you see it in COVID-19 updates, you see it on CBC, you see it on Facebook. To put pleasure craft in the water is against the current COVID-19 protocols. And, you know, it's basically that you're breaking the law.
Mm-hmm.
I've been trying for the last month, about 4 weeks, to try to get somebody to pick up the phone and speak to water sports persons, boating persons on the whole, as to how we can manage putting our boats in the water to give them some exercise.
Mm-hmm.
I think I can be corrected on this, but I think Today's Nation even has a reprint of that same press statement stating that to put your vessels in the water is breaching the COVID-19 protocols that are currently in place. Yet still, I have evidence, video and photos on my phone of boats coming out of a particular marina for...
Don't need to say particular marina. Port St. Charles.
Because there are more than one. There's more than one.
Port St. Charles.
Okay, but you had
a roar coming in recently that was in the newspaper. Sir, once...
I am
using that as an example. Don't jump on it. I'm using that as an example that was in the press, which is why I could see Port St. Charles.
Right. But this morning, now, I have, like I said, documented evidence of boats coming out of there and going back in. Meanwhile, mine and many other boaters sit at the side of our houses or our moorings and able to do the same thing.
Let me ask you this question. Hold on. Before you roll on, let's walk together. Since you tell me we have this thing together, let's walk together. Mm-hmm. The craft that you see entering and exiting the marina, persons on board, pleasure craft, going for a cruise or just going to warm up the engine and come back in?
It seemed that they went to warm up the engine and come back in.
Okay,
pleasure
craft. Which is the what I want to get at, because listening to your contribution yesterday and again your plea today, the plea seems to be, and I understand the reasons for it, engine seize up, crankshafts go this, you get problems with hoist
sludge,
and lift and
exactly.
All sorts of strange things.
All kinds of corrosion.
Correct, because this is watercraft and salt water is a corroding influence, especially if the boat ain't made for salt water, which is another problem.
Yeah.
So the question remains, in the trying to access the possibility of just exercising your craft, making sure that the vessel is in order, that the engines are working, that all the dynamics are there. Have you made the request that it's going to be one person on the boat? You're not going to have people having pleasure. This is to just make sure the craft is still working. Maybe you and a mechanic suitably masked, or there's been no response, no indication, not even we listening to you. We understand your plight, but there's been nothing like that.
That last part of your statement is what we get in. We listening to you. We understand your plight. But we ain't doing nothing yet. But still, I am hearing that persons can get permission to put their boat in the water. So how one ministry that is in charge of maritime affairs saying, no, don't do it, But then you hear you getting permission, and the only body that's give permission is the AG's office. It can't be defense force, it can't be Coast Guard, it can't be me nor you. The only body that's give permission for anything, for any kind of pass, is the AG's office. So the AG's office, I am being led to believe then, contradicting the ministry that in charge of maritime, of the maritime affairs. So how
No, that question I can't answer. Sir, I can only sympathize with you from the point of view that I understand the plight of engines and boats and the challenge of making sure that they're seaworthy. It's a challenge that I hope that those who are responsible for issuing permits or issuing permissions understand why you're asking for it and why it is important for your livelihood that you ensure that these things are done. And I'll tell you why I hope that they do. I listen very carefully to the arguments, well, the reasons put forward for hotels in Barbados. I've heard the Prime Minister, I've heard other ministers, other members of the team doing the presentations make the statement that when you leave hotel rooms closed for long periods, things go wrong. Toilets don't flush, this goes wrong, that goes wrong, and it costs a lot of money to bring them back rather than to keep them opening and functioning over a period of time. Well, if that's what happens to hotel rooms when they're closed, what do you think has happened to boats that's in there doing nothing? Barnacles on the bottom, as I said, some rock get in between the this and that, some nut break loose, some... So perhaps they need to go for a ride on a boat to find out what's happened. When you're in a speedboat and the drive shaft break off and the stern drive fly up in the air and land on in the middle of the boat and burst a hole in it, you understand there's only a small pinhole in it, and if it rusts, it's gone. So I don't know if they understand that that can happen, but as a man with a boat, I'm sure you know that can happen.
Mr. So, Johnson,
I know why you ask.
Not only as a man with a boat, I would assume that persons are right thinking and they should be able to get some of the information
if
from
they don't
people
have
like
it
the
themselves.
Coast Guard that know how boats is break.
Yeah.
Right? In addition to that, like I said yesterday, we are part of the social partnership too.
Yeah.
We are equally
part of the tourism product.
In the tourism product.
Yeah.
Else, people do not just come here to lie down in a hotel room. They come here for entertainment. Hoteliers are in the business of selling hotel rooms or accommodation.
Yeah.
We in the business of selling entertainment.
Yeah. Recreation, rest and recreation.
Recreation.
Yes, sir.
And I cannot for the life of me understand how up to now nobody can reach out through me, through some other form, through a press release to say, come in and sit down, let me talk
let's talk
5 minutes, a half of nothing.
Once a
nothing
week,
hold on a minute, man. Wait a minute, wait on what? Wait, and save the $250 that guy given gonna be enough to repair my boat when it's time to put it back in water. My six spark plugs cost $300.
Yeah.
Six spark plugs.
Yeah, hang on.
This is crazy.
So,
I can't, I didn't know to come and see this morning, boats coming in and out. You know how upset I like I tell you, I was equally as sad as I am living, because it is a sad state to see this thing happen and to hear people get permission. How you get permission and I playing all the time and everybody is telling me wait, and I am pleading for Tony Bob, I pleading for boaters. Even if you have a catamaran, you got rigging, you got engines in the boat, all those things need to be tested from time to time.
And serviced regularly.
Or the day that you start back to work, when you go, you can got more breakdowns than you can figure out.
And you got to call the Coast Guard or somebody to bring you in.
Yes.
My friend, you and I go back a long way, and you know where my heart is with you, right? And I feel your pain, because this is your livelihood. This is what you've dedicated your life to. This is your business. This is what keeps bread on your table and a roof over your head. And my friend, I just hope that somebody understands the pain that you're talking about, because this is an integral part of our life. Our foreparents came here via the water. Some of our foreparents were here because of the water. So to treat people who go to the sea to make their living as though, you know, we could tell them, hold on, I know you can't. I know you can't. We can fight this, buddy. We can fix it too. Hopefully sooner rather than later. Take care, my brother, and hold faith. Brass Tacks, good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Johnson.
Hey.
Hey, good morning. You'll talk fast.
Okay.
I would just want to talk a little bit about education.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the country shut down last year, and I have three children home. I just want you to listen to this one. I have three children home.
Mm-hmm.
So I bought a computer. I think it was about $1,500. And Floor was giving away a package, $50 a month for the internet.
Mm-hmm.
So the children now have to do the education thing online. So, Mr. Johnson, you know you have to buy three computers at the same time. That's finances that I didn't have. Three computers they had to buy because there are three children who are on at different times, and sometimes they're on all together.
Mm-hmm.
So that's an impact on me. December come now, and they moved the package from $50 because it was a special package for children.
Mm-hmm.
They moved the package from $50 now to $90-something dollars. That's just bare internet, you know, that I just use it for the children's education.
Mm-hmm.
So the impact now, my first daughter was doing 7 subjects. She was forced now to drop 2. My second daughter was doing 3. She was forced to drop 1 because of some pressure she was getting from the teacher and some other thing. Every day come home, she crying. So this educational thing, we adopt standards and take packet pieces of the standards and don't take the whole package.
Yeah.
Because I know a lot of people now doing all of this work. And as a young girl, I think she was saying to one of the mother, Peter Wickham, on Tuesday, it is very hard to do CXC in the allotted time with the same amount of work. My daughter, my first daughter, said she wanted to do medicine. I was supporting her as far as the medicine is concerned. And now she changed in mid-year, mm-hmm. forcing her to drop 2 subjects because she's not getting in the teaching and the work that she needs. So she dropped subjects, and now the whole thing messed up because she changed careers altogether and she wanted to do something else totally different. Now, my daughter is 16 years old. She did a couple subjects last year. She's supposed to do 7 this year, but she's doing 5. And she was planning to do 6th form. So all of a sudden, now she tells me she can go to finish school now because the subject she can't go forward into her 6th form. So, you know, a little girl, 16, so she telling me that she's forced to finish school after she done CXC because the majority of applications, I think, for BCC and 6th form, I think, a lot of those, I think, might be starting already. So this whole lockdown thing, it really affecting the children. And Mr. Johnson, there's a lot of children that ain't on no line, that just home, they got a computer, they have access to Wi-Fi. I thought at this time that Floor or Digicel would have free up the Wi-Fi and that kind of thing so that children can make an excuse for not being online.
Online, yeah.
How you can tell me you gave me a package last year when they had a lockdown just for a week or two? The children was home for a long time.
So I want you to stay put for a minute because we have to go to the regional roundup. I hope you can stay for a minute because I would like to have a further discussion with you on this issue of online learning and how it's affecting you. 4341790, the Thursday edition of Down to Brass Tacks. Sir, are you still with me?
Yes, sir.
Good. I was hoping you'd hold on for 2 reasons. 1, I wanted us to continue the conversation we were having. And 2, I knew there was going to be network news from Flo, and I was waiting to hear what they said. Now, they talked about having devices, 50 given to the Ministry of Education. And someone sent me a message saying that, you know, if you had a problem, you should get in touch with the Ministry of Education because they would try to assist with the challenges we were having. And again, as usual, we get sometimes good advice from the WhatsApp messages. Someone said you should encourage your daughter to stick with her plans and use BCC. The reason why I want you to stay on to explain some of the challenges you were facing, because you talked, one, about having to get 3 computers to to get your three children to be able to work, one. Two, it must have mean, it still should mean, an increase in electricity cost. Yesterday we had a gentleman complaining about changes in bandwidth and losing connectivity to his recreational desire to use his television. What are some of the challenges you faced, apart from the ones you've mentioned, if you want to go on and share some of the challenges you faced with connectivity, trying to get your children to follow their course of study while at home?
Well, one of the main problems that we had is during the lockdown, the computers that we bought, because at the time when the children were going to get the computers to do the online work, one of the problems was getting a proper computer. So
yeah.
I went into the store and I saw a particular brand and I inquired about the brand and they told me the brand would be able to do the work. So I bought two of those.
And they were not.
And when I went, we had to spend actually the whole lockdown with them not doing any work because only one body can go on the computer that was working good and do their work at a time. So right. Yesterday, day before, I took back those two computers to the store. Mm-hmm. Lo and behold, when I got to the store, I thought I was going to be up against a mountain. I saw about five people in the line with the same computers, with the same problem. So one of the things was not that you didn't have the devices, that we had the devices there, but that particular brand of computer
was not
suitable to do, not even a Zoom meeting. So when the teacher was talking, the whole thing was just spinning. And the thing is, it is only the internet that I paid for, so nobody else was on it doing anything. So the computer is not picking up. And then when it was picking up, the whole thing was sticking. As you said, it was a raise in the electricity bill, and my wife was asking what was the real raise. We were looking to see if it was a fridge or something, but
it was the computer raise use.
We pay about $40 extra now in electricity.
Mm-hmm.
As I said, it's another added bill to me because I'm not getting any more money. The same money that I got to serve three children with. And you think when you go to get the computer would have been a better computer. At first, the $50 that they was giving, it was something that you could work with because, you know, you said $50, you're just paying for the internet.
Right.
But then you went on and you forget all about that. And then the whole package just start coming at $90.
No.
And before you could look again, I mean, the bill doubled.
Sir, and that is what I wanted to hear from you. And I'll tell you why I wanted to hear that from you. I have been in touch with other people. I have seen the challenges myself because, well, I haven't done it. I usually come into the studio to do the program, but several of my colleagues host the program via Zoom. Producers have to be here physically to produce the program. We can't do it by Zoom. What is happening is this. Flo offers packages. The other cellular company does it as well. But they don't seem to ask the customer, what do they want from the service? So in other words, you may want more data, or you may want more bandwidth, or you may want XYZ. You may want only cellular and internet. But there is no package that gives you just that. They tell you, if you take this package, this is what you get. So they tell you what package, rather than asking you, what do you need? And then you find yourself in the situation that you've just said, where you think you have the correct package. But then when you start to use it, you suddenly find yourself with a challenge. I had two children at university. And when the first one went there, I took out a data package. When she was finished with her degree, I stopped it, forgetting that my son was going there next. And when he went there, I suddenly saw my bill and I almost had a heart attack. And then I remember, oh shoot, my son using data now. So I had to go and change again to plan. So, and what you have expressed is what happens to a lot of people because they don't anticipate what their usage will be. And you have three children. So I don't know how you will gauge how much they use based on packages they're offered to you. Have you been able to fix that problem?
Well, Mr. Johnson, to be honest, I get a call from Flo almost every 2-3 days.
Offering you something else?
No, they want the money.
They want the money. Okay.
They want to know when they will be able to settle the arrears, what day I will be able to get in. But the thing is, if I could just get school start back tomorrow, I know the children have to use Wi-Fi and to do these things online. I would take up the Wi-Fi tomorrow. But the thing got me, I don't know why we in a crisis. That Flo can't see that this is a crisis and they can't reach out to these children and say, well, look, come up with some plan. I'm not IT savvy. Come up with some plan that say, well, look, for all the children that we have in school, we can give you this 50 of these things and 50 of these things for thousands of children at home that ain't doing nothing. And I think Johnson is too hard right now on the children, as the young girl was talking to Peter Wickham. And let me tell you how my children got to do it. I have to go to work. So my daughter, my oldest daughter, she has to get up now to try to see how she can get my second daughter sorted out, to get her online. And then my second daughter now has to sort out herself, start her classes earlier. And then she has to go back now and sort out herself. And then she got to get lunch now for herself at a different lunchtime. And then somebody got to split it in a way so they could get lunch for my last daughter. And then, you know, you understand what's going on. So
they're learning responsibility now. The hard way.
Yeah. So it's difficult now for the children that have parents that have children home to supervise these children and make sure they're getting what they want to get. So the children using their head, the children realize, well, look, you see all of these subjects. I can't handle all of these subjects. They say to me, look, I drop in 2.
Yeah.
So she dropped 2. The second one said, daddy, drop in 1. And she just dropped 1 every day, go home. No, well, not every day. I just went home and I saw she crying the time. And she had some problem with the teacher. And the teacher tell her something about the thing. And every time she put forward the presentation, the answers that the teacher is giving her, making she cry. It's about, give me the teacher number. Let me call the teacher. She don't want me to call the teacher. And she just dropped the class. And it is right now, it's 3 children online. It's the CXEs and primary school. And you got to be working, and then you got to be feeding them, and then every time you look on somebody want the money, if not, they're going to turn off this service and turn off. It's too much right now to handle, honestly. If it was up to me, I would go and cut out the internet and then try to see if I could just take the money and pay somebody to come and teach children from home. Because the government trying to do what they can do, and I'm not saying the government ain't doing what they do and not that these things, but you mean after you do all they do, the computer ain't still a good computer? Ms. Johnson, I don't want back that computer, so I don't know now when I go back to these people, how I can be able to negotiate and tell them, look, you see this brand of computer? The 2 of these, I do not want this.
At all.
Because to bring it down there, I still got, right now, Mr. Johnson, I can't have back Monday. So my first daughter ain't doing no work. She ain't doing no work this week because the other 2 got to use their computers for their class. But she tell me, well, she can go use this phone to see what she can do. How you can do work on a phone, that little words, we can't see on that.